the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
All right, well, they played Dirty Water once. No big deal. Still won the series. Brewers fall today by a final of 2-1. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Craig Kishon will join us shortly here on the program. Yes, it's a losing road trip, and all we had asked was 5-4. If that would be possible, no matter the opponents, you're always happy with a 5-4 road trip. They go 4-5. But I think anybody listening and anybody who watched those games in Miami understands, you know what? They did not play their best. And Houston, they got beat. Houston played very well in all three of those games to open up this trip. And here, yes, it would have been nice to get a sweep. Just a reminder of how hard it is to sweep in Major League Baseball, especially when you're facing a future Hall of Famer in the ninth inning in Kenley Jansen. All that being said, eight hits for Milwaukee, nine hits for Boston. A lot of singles today. Not many opportunities, and the main opportunity there in the bottom of the eighth inning was cashed in off of Elvis Piguero. Sadan Rafaela led off with a double down a left field line. Duran quickly scored him with a single the opposite way. And kudos to Piguero for not allowing another run to technically keep the Brewers in it. But obviously, they came up short. For the Brewers, in my opinion, this was still a very, very successful road trip when you remember who is missing and what they had to go through and some of the adversity they had to deal with. I mean, quite frankly, they were one Christian Yelich triple away from getting swept in Miami. And no Rhys Hoskins, having Joe Ross pitch one inning and have to go to a bullpen day. All in all, 4-5. It's not what you wanted, but you're not going to panic. And now you get the series that has been circled all year long, even since, you know, November. Oh, boy. Here we go. We'll have plenty to talk about with that series, and I want to talk about that with Craig Counsell's return, and what are the expectations finally for tomorrow, because I said this in December or January. I'm not talking about it until the day is here, and, well, the day has arrived. So we'll talk about that with Craig. We'll talk about some positives, too. I thought Tobias Myers was solid today. Some things to work on, of course, but nonetheless, he still only allowed one run of his own against the Red Sox. Furthermore, the bullpen was solid again. I know Piguero gave up the run and lost the tie, but using pie-ops in the fashion that they did was important. And Nolly Paredes had a great Brewers debut today. We'll break down his outing today as well. And also, some starting rotation thoughts since we learned what the Brewers are going to roll with against the Cubs this week. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to text in, if you want to call in, come hang out with us here on the program this evening. This one from Adam down in Gainesville. Sadly, it felt like the right bookend for this road trip. We definitely had some high highs and some low lows. I feel as though the Miami series, to use a bad cliche, was a trap series. And that was not indicative of what the Brewers that we know. Here's to an excellent series against the Cubs and the White Sox. This one, Tom from Pewaukee. I see why Paredes was so dominant in AAA this year. He was gross today, all coming from an awkward delivery. Yes, he got some calls, but good on him for identifying the umpire's zone and taking advantage of it. Yeah, he was fantastic today, Tom. I agree. This one from Doug. I'll take a 4-5 trip since it easily could have been 3-6 after the Miami series. Also a question, why no Ortiz today? Keep his bat in there. Part of the reason for no Ortiz today, he needed a day. He has started 16 of the last 17 games for the Brewers. Also, one other game off the bench. So he has actually played in 17 of the last 18. And also, furthermore, Tanner Houck carves right-handed pitching. And Weimer wasn't getting many reps. They were liking what they saw from Oliver Dunn down in AAA, and Oliver Dunn scored the only run of the day today for the Brewers. So Brewers Twitter can overreact all they want about Oliver Dunn being in the lineup today. He kept them from being a shutout today. So I don't want to hear anything about all of that. Oliver Dunn's going to be a darn good player and try to figure things out. We're going to have Craig Kishon with us in just a little bit, too. This one from Brian and Tosa. Nice series win in a tough ballpark and a pitching staff that coming in had to be one of the top in the American League. It was. Starting staff has been one of the best in the AL for the Red Sox this season. Kind of figured Houck was going to pitch well. Myers was great. Bullpen, except for one inning, outstanding again. Looking forward to the Cubs series plan to be at all four games? And lastly, where would the Brewers be without Contreras? He drove in Oliver Dunn there in that big fifth inning for the Brewers, but could not get anything more across for sure. This one from Lori in Franklin. How can the Brewers address leaving so many men on base? 1-for-8 today, and all they talk about is all the games that we're in, we're losing, but we can't hit people home. That's baseball, Lori. That's just baseball. No sense to overreact. When you lose games, you leave guys on base. When you win games, you don't leave guys on base. Don't overreact. It's no big deal. You're going to lose some games. That's why there's 162 of them. Take a breather. We'll come back with more. Want to remind you, though, with Brewers Extra Innings all season long, is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Take a breather. Come back with more. Brewers fall 2-1 to the Red Sox on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
If there are folks actually frustrated about Blake Perkins bunting with two outs in the ninth inning, misdirected anger, quite frankly. Brewers fall 2-1 today. You're facing Kenley Jansen. He has the best cutter in baseball. You know it's coming, and you still can't hit it. That's the point of what makes Kenley Jansen so great. If that's your way to get on base, takes one bobble, maybe if it's a little more toward the line, it's a base hit, and boom, anything can happen. Kenley's also extremely slow to the plate, so Perkins could have stole second base, and then boom, he's in scoring position for Terang. I'm totally fine with it. Absolutely. Totally fine with that. As for what the Brewers tried to do today, the fifth inning was all of the offense. And we'll talk about Tobias a little bit later when Craig joins us as well. But talking about that fifth inning for the Brewers, Tanner Houck has been great. He's been arguably the best pitcher for the Red Sox and one of the best pitchers in the American League so far this season. And last season, the second and third time through the order is what really kept him down. And he really struggled finding new ways to get outs. And yet, today, in this season, he's shown off his new toy, the splitter. He's showing great command. He's eliminated his four-seam fastball. And it's created a million ground balls. And the difficulty of facing a guy, not just with the splitter that has swing and miss, but has a ground ball ability, it's hard to elevate baseball. I mean, he's only allowed one home run all season. He's been a fantastic pitcher this year for the Red Sox. So in that fifth inning, the Brewers all started off with a leadoff single by Oliver Dunn on a splitter. That was a really impressive swing by Ollie. Perkins struck out swinging on a slider. With Oliver Dunn on second, he stole the bag. Terang worked a walk. That put runners on first and second. And William, with two strikes on him, grounds a base hit up the middle. And it was another ground ball. He hit it hard enough, though, to squeak through the middle and score a run. The Brewers had first and second and one out for, or rather, corners, I should say, and one out for Yelly. And Yelly pulled a ground ball to first. Dom Smith hesitated for a moment because he saw Terang breaking for the plate. I thought it was fine base running by Bryce because the assumption in that regard, the corners were not all the way in, especially for a lefty with Yelich. So in that read is assume they're going to go for two. And Smith did hesitate, like he was going to go throw to second base. But when he saw Terang break for the plate, he decided to throw home and get Bryce into the rundown. What really hurt the Brewers is that Willy Adames today had the bloop sun single in the first inning, but otherwise had three strikeouts today. Not his best day at the ballpark here at Fenway, but it is what it is when it comes to the offense. Yes, they went 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Not much to write home about in that regard. They're not going to win many games in that fashion. Well, the Red Sox went 2-for-9. They had one more hit, one more at-bat, and that was the difference of the game. Both pitching staffs pitched great today. It was going to be a 2 or a 3 to be the deciding factor in this contest. Down the box score here for the Brewers. Terang, another hit, also a walk. Also, Oliver Dunn had a stolen base. No steal for Bryce today. William, the RBI single, he went 1-for-4. Yelly went 1-for-4, just missed a home run. Hit it like 130 off the bat down the right field line. That was loud here at Fenway Park. Adames, the sun single, but otherwise 3 strikeouts. Bowers 0-for-4 today. He was human. It's fine. Gary had a couple of hits, including a double. It was the only extra base hit of the day for the Brewers. Brewers struck out 12 times today, only walked once. Houck was in command. He was very impressive today. Perkins 1-for-4 with the bunt single, a beautiful bunt single. And let's talk about everything that went down there in the eighth inning. We'll save that for, or rather the seventh inning, we'll save that for Craig to break it down and what we saw. But let me just read some quotes from the clubhouse, this courtesy of Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, from Pat Murphy. I think that it was more about their pitcher showing some emotion, and I think our people thought it was directed at them. I don't know if it really was or if it wasn't. I'm not going to speculate about what the kid was doing. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, there was a mini dust-up, nothing crazy, but benches emptied, bullpens emptied, after Chris Martin got the final out of the seventh inning on a couple of bunts in the frame, a ground out to first, they retired Yelly. And Martin shouted something. I'm not a professional lip reader. I'm decent at it. There were some expletives in there that I can't say here on the radio. But Martin was frustrated. And the best way I could tell is just by a baseball sense, I think he was frustrated about how much running he had to do at the end. And this isn't like trying to be a joke, like, oh, he's mad about running. No, no, no. It's just like, God, I mean, all five batters in the inning he had to make a play on, right? So he had the bunt single by Perkins to lead off the inning, a sack bunt by Terang. Then he had the ground ball, so Martin had to get over and cover first. Then he had another ground ball by Yelich, he had to get over and cover first. So all four batters in the inning, Martin had to get off the mound. He was frustrated. And this isn't trying to take a knock on Chris Martin, saying he's old or anything like that. Every single pitch, you'd be like, oh, come on, man. What? I'm a pitcher. I'm not a fielder. But maybe he took it a little too far. Quentin Berry was confused whether or not he was yelling it at him. QB took exception to whatever was said. I've never seen QB that mad, personally. And it is what it is. There's a dust-up, warnings, no ejections, all move on. And this is all with the crew chief, Chris Guccione, as well. So there's a redeeming quality for Gooch after a normal-ish day. And I love the end of this as we welcome in Craig Kishon on the program. On the opening comment from Pat Murphy on the bench's clearing moment, Craig. Well, that's not our first time. There's certainly been a few things like that this season, huh?
Well, yeah, there have. And I think the unofficial count is, what, four? And I think that was the Brewers' first loss when benches cleared out. So we need a few more, Dom, to get back on the winning track when it comes to that, for sure. But you know what? I don't know. You know, I don't mind this team getting under the skin of certain opposing teams. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think in a lot of cases they're trying to do it either, which is kind of funny. I mean, I don't ever remember a pitcher getting all bent out of shape over fielding a couple of bunts in a tie game. Are you kidding me? Nothing's happened offensively for either team, and the Brewers have been doing a lot of bunting this year. That really kind of threw me off, and I don't know. It makes, to me, it sometimes with players and pitchers or whatever that you don't know, it's kind of a big reveal of what your demeanor is really like.
Let's talk a little bit about the Brewers this road trip here. Grander thoughts of, all right, they went 4-5 against the Astros, who were starting to kick it into gear, the Marlins, who were kicking it into gear, the Red Sox, who had won 4 in a row coming into this series. Then the Brewers take the series from them. Now, if I told you that the Brewers were only going to win one series on this 3-series trip, I probably would have assumed it would have been Miami. But nonetheless, the Brewers lost a couple of one-run games in here. They're coming home 4-5. It's not great, obviously. It's not ideal, but quite frankly, it could have been worse.
Well, I think that's the bottom line, and I think that, in all honesty, is the big fear of long road trips like this is what could go wrong. And they had to deal with some, you know, that surprise injury to Joe Ross in leaving after one inning. You know, they had to deal with, you know, guys fighting through slumps. You're sending, you know, guys up and down from AAA a little bit, whether it's pitchers or position players. So all kinds of things can go wrong. You lose heartbreak games. Breaks don't go your way. Bounces don't go your way. And because these trips are long, sometimes, you know, it can grind on you a little bit harder. But I thought they held their own, you know, really well. And just coming in Boston, I think getting that win on Friday night, getting the early lead certainly helped them for sure. So I'll take the 4-5. I mean, You know, maybe next time they go on the road, you know, they flip things around a little bit. And the other thing too, Dom, is I'd really like this team to win this week at home. They've got, you know, four big games, as we know, with the Cubs coming in, and then the White Sox right after that too. So the stadium will be packed, with visiting crowds, I'm sure, all seven games. And I'd like to see them start winning at home a little bit more here too.
I agree entirely. And furthermore, this is the longest road trip of the year. It's the only three-city road trip on the schedule for the Brewers. The next quote-unquote long one is they have a pair of West Coast trips in June and July, one to Anaheim and San Diego, and one to Colorado and Los Angeles. So those would be a couple of other tests coming up. But this week, I mean, I've been telling folks in the Boston media here about, hey, man, you guys got a pretty good team. You guys are pretty solid. I'm like, this is the week where you find out what they're made of, because obviously there's no Rhys Hoskins right now, but they're pretty darn close to what they were hoping with the offense anyway, and they've really found a lineup that works for them. You're going to have an emotional series with the Cubs, you know, four games with them. Then you're going to have less of an emotional series with the White Sox, given their poor play at the start of the season. But as we learned with the Marlins, you can't take anybody for granted. Then you have another emotional series with Philly, given it's Rhys Hoskins' return there. And then you go to Detroit, who's been playing very good baseball. So these next 2 weeks, there's no traps. There are quality opponents. I know I just said there are no traps, and we talked about the White Sox. There are no such thing as trap series. You got to take everybody seriously.
Yeah, and the good part is, to be quite honest with you, they clearly understand that now. And if I'm certain that they did before, but sometimes you got to play it out. And I'm sure they were disappointed with the outcomes of the games in Miami when they lost two out of three there. So they understand what's going on, and this is all part of baseball too. And I think the one thing about all this is we all understand that you know you have to play your best every night, and nothing's given to you. But I think this club, just especially right now, has such a clear vision of what they're capable of doing no matter who they're playing. And they just understand that, yes, they can lose to teams who aren't playing well, and yes, they can beat teams up pretty good who are playing well at the time. So it's what's made this season entertaining so far, to be honest with you. Just the fact that we've talked about it, Tom, in so many games. You're in so many games because you're a good team, and this team is a lot of fun to watch here right now.
855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Tom in South Dakota says, no need to panic is correct. Love taking two out of three in a legendary venue. Shows some ability of a young team to handle distractions and put some W's on the board. Let's talk about this young team. Let's talk about the young pitching that we saw today. That's up next with Craig Kishon here on Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall 2-1 to the Red Sox. I'm Dominic Catronio. We're going till 4:30 tonight, Central Time, here on Brewers Extra Innings with Craig Kishon right now. Let's talk a little bit positive today. Now, we've kind of been down in the dumps about losing five of the nine games on this trip. Tobias Myers did his job today, and Tobias has barely pitched the last few weeks, given a rainout. Then he had the bullpen appearance against Miami. And today he goes 4 1/3, six hits, one run that was earned. And the biggest stat for me, not the four strikeouts, was the zero in the walk column. I thought Tobias did his job, and he did his job well.
Yeah, I agree. That really stands out to me as well. I think the biggest thing, the walks sometimes really hurt this club. I feel like they come in bunches for some of these pitchers. But the bottom line is, you know, they've got a couple of young guys right now in their rotation that they'd like to keep in there, and Myers and Gasser. And if these guys, you know, Gasser's only thrown or only allowed one walk in his starts here so far, you'd love to see those numbers continue. But I think it's just obviously a great sign of, you know, Myers being in control and command of his pitches here right now. And no, he couldn't get through that fifth, but I'm not sure how concerned the Brewers are with that. He was at 64 pitches. And I think that, you know, the underlying, you know, sub headline to this, you know, you hit on, Dom, he hasn't pitched deep in a game in about 2 weeks at least. So They got to take care of business here with him and a couple of others, and they've got some bullpen arms coming in. They debuted a new one here today as well that I know you're going to want to talk about. But I was impressed with Myers, and quite honestly, I feel really confident when he's out there in that rotation.
Yeah, he's been solid. I mean, in his last start in the big leagues was 4 walks against the Cardinals, and he had only allowed 1 run in that game working into the fifth. The Brewers won it 7-1. But then in the previous start to that, he had 4 walks against the Cubs as well. Remember, he had that disastrous first inning against the Cubs, and he will obviously now miss the Cubs. Next start will be against the White Sox coming up next weekend. Anoli Paredes is the guy that you are mentioning making his Brewers debut, coming in and mowing down the side. 6 up, 6 down, 4 strikeouts in the 6th and 7th innings from Anoli Paredes. Big reminder for Anoli, no options for him. So if he's here, he's got to stick, and the Brewers got to find a way to keep him involved while they shake out their bullpen and shake out their rotation. But man, what a first impression for Anoli in the blue and gold.
Good Lord, man. You know, bring it on. Bring it on, Anoli. You know, here's the thing, and you saw him a lot in spring as well. The staff, this current staff who's coaching him, wanted him on board earlier. And, you know, I'm guessing that they tried to keep his situation, you know, somewhat delicate and made sure that they were completely confident when indeed he is called up that it's going to be, you know, as sure a thing as possible with him being out of options. So here we are, you know, third into the fourth week of May, and now he's here. And if he continues to throw strikes, which, you know, it's my understanding, you know, Dom, that he had probably the hardest time doing on a continuous basis. You know, if he shows what he's done today in any further capacity, this is a huge addition here right now for this club.
Yeah, he was a minor league free agent that the Brewers signed to a minor league deal this coming year. He's only 28 years old. And the big thing with Anoli, and this is where I come in here and kind of insert myself to the story, I've known Anoli since he was 22, 23 years old in the Astros organization. We were together in Double A in Corpus Christi. And even there, you would see the control pop out and have some issues, but that rotation that he was a part of was one of the best in the Astros farm. And in his last season, in 2023 with the Astros, he had 45 walks in 54 innings. They just could not get it right with him. Never made it back to the big leagues last year. Whereas now, he's only got 9 walks, and when you include today, in 22 and two-thirds innings. That's a much better rate, much better pace, obviously, and getting 4 strikeouts in your first 2 innings in the show certainly helps too, because that lively fastball plays, man, and when you have command with 96, 97 at the top of the zone, you're going to get a lot of guys out.
Well, and I think it just begs the question, too, that maybe has remained unanswered at this point is, you know, what did they do with him at spring training to get him to be more of a strike thrower? And, you know, I'm not sure that question has been answered just yet, but I don't know if you paid that much attention, you know, just knowing what was going on in his situation and how he was going to help the club, you know, if indeed he was going to make it and stay in the organization. But, you know, we continue to laud how, you know, good this staff is at developing and helping to continue to develop pitchers. And I think, you know, somehow, some way he falls in that category.
Yeah. Part of the reason too is he was not on the 40-man roster coming out of spring training, and the 40-man was full for the majority of spring. So they knew that, okay, when they call him up, because they had Chiago already on the 40-man without any options, obviously he has now since been traded to the Orioles, you try to create flexibility in that way, manipulating things and that sort of thing. And finally, here with Pyomps getting in a hot water situation, had men on the corners and only 1 out, and for him to escape in the way that he escaped against the top of the order, Duran striking out and Abreu lining out, Pyomps continues to show signs that he has righted the ship, and maybe we'll start seeing him later in the game soon.
Well, I'll tell you what, that bottom of the fifth you're talking about was turned out to be just like a bottom of the ninth in a closure situation where you want a guy in and he has 1 job to do, man, and that's not to allow another run when they're beating hard down there trying to get things going. So kudos to him. He did a great job, and you're right. We talked about it a little bit on our TV post game show as well. How many of the variety of pitchers that the Brewers have right now coming out of the bullpen have the ability to come in the fifth inning like that and make that be the shutdown inning, and then that's it. Then you hand it over, you know, to the next reliever starting the sixth inning. But having the ability to do that in the fifth and then maybe do that in the eighth as a setup, or do it in the ninth to close things out. Nobody's set in stone doing anything just quite yet. They need each other, and they're depending on each other. And I think right now that's been a really positive thing for the chemistry that we're seeing and the performances out of that bullpen.
I agree. I'm going to keep you for one more, Craig, because we do have to talk about the elephant in the room that is tomorrow. That's coming up next. Cubs in town. Brewers fall in Boston 2-1. We'll have Murphy and highlights a little bit later. But up next, we're going to talk about the stuff that everybody wants to talk about with Craig Counsell's return tomorrow. After this on 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I am live from Fenway Park. Craig Kishon is back in the studio. Brewers fall 2-1 today to the Red Sox. So that's going to pretty much wrap up our talk about the Red Sox. But let's, Craig, talk about tomorrow. 3 o'clock game. Craig Counsell will be in the other dugout for the first time as a manager. It's going to be weird. I mean, it's going to be weird, and we've all answered the question, like, is it going to be booed? What's it going to be like? Is it going to be loud? I'm sick of all of that stuff. What I want to ask you, Craig, in your professional opinion, when push comes to shove and when play ball is signaled, it's just going to be another epic rivalry game of Cubs and Brewers, regardless who the managers are. Both managers could get the flu tomorrow, and there's still going to be massive animosity in the ballpark. And quite frankly, the Cubs are coming off of a Cardinals series as well, and they're playing Sunday Night Baseball tonight. So you don't need the managers to elevate this rivalry any bigger than it is, but this is going to be a wild 4 games at AmFam.
It is, and I think, you know, from a Brewer perspective, I mean, there really isn't a Cub perspective for this game. They've already hosted the Brewers for their games down there with their new manager. But I think from a Brewers fan perspective, and let me just also say this, the Brewer players, having already played a series, that doesn't factor in either. I will agree with you. I think the thing it does for Brewer fans, it maybe for the first time in a while is going to just amp up Brewer fans, simply because the Cubs are here, and then the situation with Craig Counsell being their manager. He'll probably get booed if he chooses to bring the lineup card out to a certain degree, and I'm sure he's going to be cheered to a certain degree by Brewer fans as well from an appreciation standpoint. Then once the first pitch, if Counsell doesn't make an appearance on the field, it's strictly a game. If he makes all his pitching changes between innings and doesn't have to make any mound visits or anything along that line, or have to argue with, umpires' calls. But if he does and he comes out, that's going to change the complexion of the attitude of the fan base. And sometimes the attitude of the fan base can affect how a game is. If it's tied, if it's close, if there's a lot going on. There's going to be some things going on here that we're obviously not used to. I'm quite frankly still not used to seeing him in a Cubs uniform. Every time I see Craig Counsell in a Cubs hat and the Cubs uniform, it still throws me off a little bit. But that's reality, and they're coming to town tomorrow. And guess what? For the next 4 days, all anybody wants, if you're a Brewer fan, is to beat the Cubs. Period.
And quite frankly, with is he going to get booed? Is he going to get... We won't know for certain. We just won't. We'll hear boos. We know that, but there's going to be plenty of Cubs fans in the ballpark. But one thing I'm for certain of, Craig, and I'm very confident in this, is that Pat Murphy is going to get a roaring ovation regardless of what happens with Counsell, just like we saw on opening day in his regard. Talking to some of the guys in the clubhouse today, just very casual, off the cuff, like, you ready for tomorrow? Like, what do you think it's going to be? I said, man, Sounds like Council's probably going to get booed, but whatever. We're out there trying to win games. And as for the actual game aspect of it, if the Brewers can salvage at least a split in this series, and I'm not saying salvage like, oh, Dom, they're in first place, right? I'm like, well, look, the Cubs have been playing meh baseball, and the Brewers have been playing meh baseball. So let's see what these guys have got, right? And I think that you get a split when you're going to be facing the front end of their rotation. Justin Steele tomorrow, the rookie Ben Brown on Tuesday, Shota Imanaga on Wednesday, Jamison Tyone on Thursday. You're seeing the top guys that they want you to see. The Brewers are countering with Robert Gasser tomorrow, Freddie Peralta on Tuesday, Bryce Wilson on Wednesday, and Colin Ray on Thursday. Also, the top of their rotation, who they want to throw out. What I see is two teams that are on a crash course for October, the second round of a four-round battle between these two teams, because this is a very important series for somebody to try to get a win on.
Yeah, I would say, you know, with all the headliners of, you know, top pitching and matchups and whatnot, and the fact that they're 1-2 in the division right now, and, you know, is this a playoff preview? I don't know if it's a playoff preview, but it's certainly a warm-up for things that you want to see later in the season. But you know what? You're treated to it in the middle of the season, too, with the calendar still showing May. So I think that's pretty cool. This is what, whether people want to believe how much this is a rivalry or not, this is division play. And the Brewers have done very well in division play so far this year. And that's kind of been their ticket to win division titles, or at least to get playoff berths. So keep her going. And I'm looking forward to it as well. It's going to be one of the more fun and jovial and emotional regular season series in recent memory.
And this is going to be wacky. It's going to be kind of a remember when type series, and looking forward to listening to it and breaking it down. You won't be on the series, Craig, but I've still got Brewers warm up tomorrow and Brewers extra innings for three of the four games this week, and I'm really looking forward to it. Craig, appreciate you joining us all weekend long. We'll talk to you next weekend against the White Sox.
All right, Dom, sounds great.
All right, Craig Keshawn here on 620 WTMJ. Take a breather. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 2-1 today to the Red Sox. They still win the series, though. Nothing to fret about. Spring in Wisconsin means it's time for your annual AC tune-up. And Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical has you covered. Right now, through the end of the month, you can save $25 on AC preventative maintenance. Again, that goes only through the end of the month. You can schedule your appointment today at Sider, Sider.com. We saw a little bit of a brouhaha today. We saw some really high-quality pitching today. A little bit of a hiccup from Elvis Peguero. He had seemed to have righted the ship on this road trip. But nonetheless, the Brewers only scored one run, and that was the story of the game today, going 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position, not getting a lot to write home about as they get ready to embark on a plane and head back home for a 7-game homestand with the Chicago Cubs. It'll be the Cubs and the White Sox coming to town. Enough from me. How about from the manager? Here's what Pat Murphy had to say after today's loss.
How much did their bullpen just really not give you many opportunities to add on there?
Yeah, they were great. Their whole pitching performance today, we're going pretty good, and they held us to one run. We did it, you know, the catch the kid made in right field. He spun around twice in the tough sun and still made a great catch on Bauer's ball early, and then Sal hits a line drive that gets caught. You know, we had some opportunities. We hit some balls good, and they caught them. So it was a story of the game, and their pitching staff was great today. That's all there's to it. They were great.
You knew Hawk was going to be tough. He's been just sort of tough all year, hasn't he?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's been great. The stuff was great today, and his pitchability was great today. And yeah, I got a lot of respect for what he did. He was super.
Starting with Tobias, I mean, your guys threw the ball really well too.
I thought we did. I thought everybody. It was Paredes' first outing. He was fantastic. Piamps came in a big situation. What inning was that?
Fifth, yeah.
I mean, that was tremendous, you know, clutch outing against real hitters, and you know, it was big right there, and then Paredes gave us a chance with those two great innings, and So I thought it was a great performance, but credit to them, they played one run better.
Is that something you see at Paredes, like the multi-inning as a big part of what he does, or was that just sort of the situation today?
I think he's capable of going two, but we'd like to keep his pitch count. You know, he's really sharp, you know, under like 25, something like that. So I think we'd kind of like to see that. We've been waiting for this all year. This is a kid that we had our eyes on in spring training, and we loved him. We didn't have a roster spot for him, so we had to let some other things happen. And yeah, we're excited he's here. I think he's going to be a great addition.
Nothing really transpired from when the bench is clear, but can you explain what happened in that situation? Set the things off?
Well, that's not our first time.
No, that's not. I think it's your fourth time.
No, the guys play with a lot of energy, and from what I understand, first of all, it's over with. Nothing was, yeah, was done. I think it was more of, I think their pitcher showed some emotion, and I think our people thought it was directed at them. I don't know if it really was or wasn't. I'm not gonna speculate what the kid was doing, but if you're staring at somebody and you're saying it, it could be interpreted that you're saying it to them. So. You know, we take offense to you're going to yell at us and say something and make it personal. We're going to stand up for ourselves, you know. But I'm glad it didn't lead to anything more than that. Like I said to the umpiring crew that we've had before, once or twice, and I said, hey, you're not surprised, are you?
We did notice the names.
Yeah, we sure did.
At the start of the series.
Well, you just need what the Blue Jays and the going for the whole AL East.
Yeah. You track that stuff. I don't track that stuff.
Murph, overall, you know, you come back and you win this series. You finish 4-5 on the trip, your longest one of the year. Just, you know, got off to a rough start, but what'd you think of the last 9 days overall?
You know, again, I want to answer every question you guys direct towards me, but I just not going to address like road trip by road trip, series by series. Today we competed, we were right there till the end. That's what I worry about, and we've been competing. We had very few lapses on this long road trip. We had very few lapses. We're a very young team, we're a very banged up team, and I love the team. I love what they do, I love what they represent, I love how they come to play, I love our leadership, and yeah, I mean, credit to our coaching staff for having them ready to play every day, for setting a tone and a culture for how they do a great job. You know, I'm impressed with the coaching staff, and I'm impressed with the way the players respond to that and get ready to compete every day.
If it's just one series in late May, but what do you think is going to come this week? Do you expect it to be pretty amped up?
Who do we play?
The Cubs.
Oh, yeah. Team down the road. Yeah. I mean, I hope we just keep playing like we're playing, you know, and play with that edge and that, you know, with that freedom. You know, that's my big thing is to play with freedom. So in order to play with freedom, you got to be super prepared and, you know, undaunted, if you will, you know, undaunted by whatever happens, whatever game results, and just continue to respond and continue to respond. Whatever happens in the game, you get up 5, down 5, you just keep playing. So that's tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
you gonna boo Craig?
Boo him? Yeah. I might boo him today. You know, I might call him and boo him right today. I'll probably call him to see how he's doing, if he needs anything. Stop to the store to him. He's going to have a late night. If he needs anything, I'll stop to the store and give him a sandwich or something or whatever, you know, whatever he wants. Or,
that's nice. Nice host.
Yeah, I mean, we're friends, so be a good host to him. I'm right up the road from him here in Chicago. He can stay at the place.
I think Craig's covered when it comes to finding somewhere to stay there, Murph, but that made me chuckle. I mean, look, Murph and Council are friends. They are yin and yang. Council is not council without Murphy, and their history is not going to be impacted by one series this week head-to-head. This one is for the fans, and I'm not trying to downplay it by any means. This is a really important series when it comes to end-of-season standings because you're going to be done with the Cubs before you know it. You're done with the Cubs right out of the All-Star break when the Brewers head down to Wrigley again. I mean, it's going to happen very, very quickly, and there is still another series that the Cubs will be at American Family Field. People are acting like this is going to be the only chance that the Brewers are going to have to see Craig Counsell. This is just the first chance that the Brewers have to see Counsell in the opposing side. As I'm looking ahead on the schedule right now, the next time that the Cubs will be in town will be in August when the Brewers will be on one of their longer homestands of the season. As the Brewers, they fall today by a final of 2-1. There were a couple things to mention and some highlights to talk about. That's coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
All right, we got another 15 minutes or so left in the program. We're going to the bottom of the hour. You know, normally a highlight segment, but really not much happened today for the Brewers. But there were a few things that caught my eye in this 2-1 loss. And Gary Sanchez got the start behind the plate today for Tobias Myers. And Gary, I know a lot of people like to rag on his catching ability and what went wrong with all the pass balls in New York. One thing he has always had is a howitzer for an arm. He showed it off in the
3-2 to Cooper. There goes the runner. Swing and a miss. The throw to second is in time. He got him. Gary Sanchez cuts down a runner. And it's a strike him out, throw him out, double play to end the bottom of the first.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ. It was 81 miles an hour from Gary, and he got rid of it really quickly because the follow-through on the swing from Garrett Cooper crossed into his throwing lane, and he's just like, hey, don't break a finger, don't break a hand throwing into his bat or something like that. That was really impressive from Gary in a scoreless game. As the Red Sox got on the board in the bottom of the fourth inning, a leadoff triple is pretty much always going to score. And I know we talked about Tobias Myers not having a walk today, but I think he would have loved to have walked Rafi Devers, given it was 3-0, and on the green light, he hits the sacrifice fly. Maybe take your chances and try to get a ground ball against Dominic Smith. You never know what could have happened. But nonetheless, only one run after a leadoff triple. You're not going to complain about that. The Brewers avoided the shutdown inning instantly, and I thought that was massive today, too. A leadoff single by Oliver Dunn. He stole second base, then a walk by Bryce Terang with one out. It brought up William Contreras, who worked the count to a 2-2 count, and like he's been doing all season long, one of the best with runners in scoring position.
2-2. Ground ball back up the middle. That is going to sneak through and into center field for a base hit. Dunn's around third. He will score. Streaking to third is Terang. It is an RBI single from William Contreras, and the Brewers have tied it at one.
In the blink of an eye, all right, you avoid the shutdown inning. You're keeping the pace going. You have pressure on the opposing team, but the Brewers were not able to muster anything else in that fifth inning. And then once they got into the bullpen, once Tanner Houck was done, and Houck was tremendous today, you tip your cap to him. The Brewers really struggled with the rest of the bullpen. But in the bottom of the fifth inning, there was another opportunity to avoid a shutdown inning for the Red Sox. They got two men on with only one out. They were preparing for their third time through against Myers, but instead the Brewers went to Yoel Piamps. So you may think, well, wait a minute, is Piamps the eighth inning guy? Well, this is the moment of the game, quite frankly. If you don't get out of this situation, you may not ever have a chance to throw to a leverage guy in the eighth inning. So I thought this was a savvy move. He struck out Duran, then it was up to Abreu to keep the inning alive.
1-0 pitch. Lined out towards right. Frelick going back. He's got it measured. Makes the catch a couple of steps in front of the warning track. And a tremendous job by Yoel Piamps to come in, inheriting a tough spot with one out and retiring the two batters he faced and keeping this score tied.
And a couple of folks are thinking, well, why not just send Yoel back out there for the sixth inning? There's a couple reasons why. It was a tie game. The Brewers did not take the lead there in the sixth inning. They had an opportunity to with a one-out single by Gary, but couldn't get anything else against Houck. But now you have Yoel available for tomorrow. And furthermore, you have a lot of the leverage bullpen available for tomorrow. McGill is available. Piamps is available. Hudson is available. It's a maybe on Milner, given he threw 37 pitches yesterday. I would imagine you would have Peguero available. He threw one inning today, and yes, I knew he lost the tied game, but he is certainly an option to be used tomorrow as well. And for the Brewers to have as many bullpen weapons as they can with a rookie going tomorrow, it is certainly going to be helpful in their regard. At that time, it's 1-1 as Pyomps escaped the fifth inning. Another escape in the seventh. There really wasn't any drama in the seventh inning that featured three strikeouts for the newest Brewer, Enoli Paredes.
So 3-2, two out. The payoff pitch to David Hamilton. Paredes throws. Swing and a miss. He got him with a slider. Enoli Paredes strikes out the side in order. And what a first appearance with the crew for the right-hander. Six up, six down.
With four Ks as well, Josh Maurer's call here on WTMJ. But we mentioned it, Peguero had lost the tie game in the eighth inning, but did a good job to keep it a one-run game, but Kenley Jansen did what he does against the Brewers. He's only blown one save in his career against the Brewers. That was 2 years ago with Atlanta in a game that the Brewers eventually lost in 11 innings. But Kenley Jansen with 1-2-3 in the ninth. It's no sweep. They played Dirty Water, and they played Tessie. And everybody went home happy here in Boston. We're going to wrap up the program after this with just some thoughts around the league. Also some thoughts on Fenway Park after this on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. All right, final segment here. Got a few minutes left. Number one, Fenway Park. Gosh, I love this place. I've been here a lot. I've been very lucky in my baseball life to have been here a handful of times, more than a handful of times, quite frankly. And also, I'll be back in a few weeks again when my travels with TBS and Brian Anderson begin once again. But, man, like, just, it's got to be at the top of everybody's list. And, look, they just do it right here. The restoration, the preservation, the history, the plaques, the statues, the honoring, it's just so well done here. It just makes you feel like baseball. And I don't care about the quality of the grandstand seats. Oh, they're still using wood grandstand seats. Now. Like, I don't care. I'm here for the game, man. Like the red seats, the Green Monster. I've been lucky enough to be inside the Green Monster. I will not sign it. It's just kind of a personal thing. I don't want to sign it. But the bullpen, I've signed Pesky Pole, though, before. That was back in the day. That used to be a lot more popular. But this should be on everyone's list. And quite frankly, Major League Baseball's decision to switch to a balanced schedule really made me happy, because that means in 2 years' time, from 2 years from now, you know the Brewers will be here in Boston once again, and you can plan for that trip. You can plan if you're a fan of your team in the New England area. If there's a Brewers fan in New England, they know the Brewers will be back in 2 years. I think that is so great for fans. I think that is so great for everybody involved with the game to have a chance to see their favorite teams in historic venues like this. It just blows everything else out of the water. It's better than Yankee. It's better than Wrigley. I know the view in San Francisco is incredible, but if you're just here for the baseball, this is the place. Every baseball fan needs to come to Fenway Park. Point blank, end of story. It is so great. On that note, I took a full lap around the ballpark today once again. Sat in Ted Williams' red seat. There's a great piece. I tweeted it earlier today, Dom_Cotronio from Mike Petriello in MLB.com, about a lot of people doubt the legitimacy of Ted Williams hitting that home run over 500 feet away up the right field bleachers. And the science kind of tells us he probably hit it further. And it was really fascinating to learn. He went deep into the archives. I really would encourage you to go read that piece from Mike Petriello, again on MLB.com, about did Ted Williams really hit it as far as the red seat? It was a fun little conversation today in the clubhouse with a few guys arguing. Like, there's no way. Come on, man. Everyone was throwing 70 back then, Dom. Like, well, they didn't have the press box, and they didn't have the elevated, you know, and it was a windy day, and you just never know. It's just, it's a fun little folklore story that Petriello, I'll let you create your own thoughts after reading it, but Petriello makes a very convincing case. On that note, let's take a quick round baseball here, some highlights, or rather some scores from elsewhere in the league. Again, the Cubs and the Cardinals, they'll be playing Sunday night baseball tonight, so no result from that until 6:10 Central Time when they get going, so maybe a late arrival for the Cubs just about the same time, perhaps, as the Brewers are landing is when the Cubs will be finishing. Furthermore, games that already went final. The Mets, old friend Omar Narvaez hits a walk-off single to beat the Giants 4-3. Also, the Rangers beat the Twins 6-2. The Reds swept the Dodgers. How about that? The Reds win 4-1 over Los Angeles. A barn burner in Detroit. The Tigers win 14-11. A walk-off homer from Matt Vierling. He hit two in the game. They went 7-13 with runners in scoring position. Games in progress right now. The Rockies are leading the Phillies. Somebody finally got to Ranger Suarez. Six innings, three hits, five runs, four walks for Ranger. He did have nine strikeouts in that one. The Orioles are leading the White Sox 2-0 after a lengthy rain delay, and that's a no-hitter right now for Kyle Bradish through six innings, so we'll monitor that on the south side. And the Astros beating up on the A's right now 5-0 in the bottom of the fifth inning at the Coliseum. The Yankees and Aaron Judge on fire taking on the Padres. That game is scoreless in the top of the fifth inning. Judge is 1-for-2 today. He continues to hit bombs. He had a homer in four straight games. That's going to do it for our program here from Fenway. Thank you so much to everybody who listened live, who watched live, who hung out with us here this weekend in my favorite ballpark in America. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us as well, and for our producer, Evan Witalison. It's going to be a fun week. I'll be with you for Brewers warm-up tomorrow at 2 o'clock and after for Brewers Extra Innings. Until next time, keep on swinging.